Chapter 12, Malava Malka. Minutes after the Havdalah candle was snuffed out, with cries of a Gitavach ringing out into the Rebbe's courtyard, the kitchen would come to life. Pots were filled and fires lit. Fishermen would arrive bearing their catch directly from the waters of the Bodrog. Sudas Malava Malka was the climax of the week in Karastir. The holiness of Shabbos fused with hopes and prayers for the week ahead. The Rebbe himself oversaw the arrangements for the Suda, and he insisted that the food be prepared fresh on Matzei Shabbos. In addition to fish, chicken, and meat, guests looked forward to fresh, hot bilklach that were served directly from the oven, and the special borscht with potatoes, a Karastir tradition. Wine and blessings flowed, and Reb Shaila, in an elevated mood, would recount stories of tzaddikim. In addition to local Hasidim, the weekly feast drew many impoverished individuals who descended on Karastir each Matzei Shabbos, knowing that they would satisfy their hunger there. Bacharim from the various yeshivas in the region would make their way to Karastir on foot, confident that Reb Shaila, in his great love for Torah scholars, would ensure that they returned to yeshiva with parcels of food. During the summer months, the feast would begin late and would often continue until dawn. The long winter Matzei Shabbos nights brought large crowds. The express train from Budapest, a four-hour journey, would arrive by midnight, when Reb Shaila would make his entrance and wash. The Rebbe would then circulate between the tables, greeting the participants and distributing the hot rolls. He would read from the Neyim Elimelech or other holy works and lead spirited zmiris. Reb Shaila had the weekly custom of relating a geltmeisa, a story about Parnassa, the story intended to draw a flow of sustenance towards the listeners. Sometimes he would ask one of the participants to share stories. Reb Shlomo Engel was frequently given the honor, and he would share Sipur Tzadikim. Occasionally, those stories involved Reb Shaila himself. The Rebbe was unaffected by the miraculous incidents being revealed, personal as they were, and would even interject with a pertinent detail. It was irrelevant to him that he was the central figure in the story. The goal, filling Jewish hearts with emunas tzaddikim, was his focus. Many of the yeshuas, the extraordinary salvation that came forth from Karastir, emerged from those festive sudas malava malka. In an exalted state, Reb Shaila would bestow blessings and good wishes, particularly to those suffering from ailments and disease. He would offer them some of the rich foods, insisting that they eat it, despite doctor's orders or digestive difficulties. Small portions of the Rebbe's food proved more effective than any remedy, and Reb Shaila himself would often refer to their healing properties. Mein Malava Malka, he would say, is a segula tzumogen krankheit. My Malava Malka is a cure for stomach illness. Reb Shaila spent a Shabbos in Muzai as a guest of Reb Yonah Friedman. Anticipating a large crowd, Reb Yonah purchased an entire cow in honor of Shabbos, while his wife prepared abundant portions of food. Excitement gave way to worry when far fewer guests than expected showed up. It looked like much of the food, purchased at great cost and prepared with great effort, would go to waste. With the onset of Shabbos, Reb Shaila discerned that his host was anxious, and he inquired as to the reason. Reb Yonah explained that there seemed to be too much food. On Shabbos, Reb Shaila reassured him, a Jew doesn't worry. I assure you that the food will be eaten and enjoyed. Just after Havdalah, at the conclusion of the uplifting, if quiet, Shabbos, there was a loud knock at Reb Yonah's door. It was a local non-Jewish fisherman, carrying a large basket filled with fresh fish. He explained that he had spread his nets out on Thursday, as he did each week, hoping to catch fish and sell them to his Jewish customers before Shabbos. That week, however, he had forgotten to remove the nets on Friday, and had only remembered moments earlier. He was stuck with a large quantity of fresh fish, and little hope of making a sale. He knew that Reb Yonah presided over a bustling household, and thought that perhaps Reb Yonah would purchase some of the fish. Reb Yonah, knowing that Reb Shaila had the custom to prepare something fresh for Malava Malka, immediately purchased the entire stock. Within minutes, Jews from all over, well beyond the borders of Musai, came streaming towards Rabbi Yonah's home. Many came to participate in Rabbi Shaila's celebrated Malava Malka, while others were simply hungry, and they knew there would be plenty of food in the Rebbe's presence. The home was bustling with people, and the trays of food that came forth from Rabbi Yonah's kitchen were quickly consumed, including the fresh fish and meat he had purchased before Shabbos. Rabbi Shaila presided over the festive Malava Malka late into the night, sharing stories and singing zmiras. Before Berachas HaMazon, he turned to his host. "Is there any food left?" Rabbi Yonah replied that all the food had been eaten by the Malava Malka guests. Rabbi Shaila smiled broadly, his satisfaction evident. "I told you that there was no reason to worry." Rabbi Yonah would share the story of that Matzei Shabbos, marveling at the allure of the Rebbe's Malava Malka. "I know that he did it each week in Kerestir, but I didn't realize he had the strength to draw the people close, even when on the road, far from his own court." The Rebbe's Malava Malka didn't wield an extraordinary power just over Yiddish neshamas. Originally, the Schnellzug, the express train that crisscrossed Hungary, only stopped in large cities. The train would pass by Kerestir, as the size of the town didn't merit a stop of its own, to the great frustration of passengers who were forced to remain on the train until Uel, where they would descend and return to Kerestir by foot or wagon. Rabbi Shaila made a special request of the station manager, asking him if he could accommodate the many passengers with a stop in Kerestir. "It was dark and cold," the Rebbe explained, and he wished to spare the travelers the added inconvenience. The local manager excused himself, saying that he had no power to control the schedule. Out of respect for the Rebbe, he wrote a letter to the government administrators of the rail line, but they ignored the request. Kerestir was but a tiny village, hardly worth a second glance. The following week, as the train made its way through the Zemplin region, the engines gave a sudden hiss, the brakes creaked, and the train came to a complete stop. The engineer tried valiantly to move forward, but there was nothing to do. The doors were opened, as employees came out of the various cars to try to identify the problem, but no one could find anything wrong. Seeing as the train was stuck, its doors wide open, the passengers headed for Kerestir took advantage of the situation to descend from the train and walk into the village. Moments later, the engineer got the train to work again, and it moved forward. A report was filed and sent to the railway administrators, informing them of the strange problem. The next Matzei Shabbos, as the train passed Kerestir, the scene repeated itself. The train was inexplicably stuck, and it only resumed operation after the Kerestir-bound passengers got off. The report was filed again, and this time, officials took note. They assumed that the delay was caused by the Jews, wishing to protest the refusal of the authorities to add a stop at Kerestir. Investigators were sent to accompany the train and discover the Jewish tactic. The Jews insisted that there was no sabotage. It was simply the effect of the Rebbe's will. After four consecutive Matzei Shabbos delays, the administrators finally called in the local Kerestir station manager and asked him if he thought it possible that Rabbi Shaila had such power. He assured them that the Chadi Rabbi was a source of healing and salvation for all visitors, non-Jews as well as Jews. And from then on, there was a Kerestir stop on the line. Travelers to the Malava Malka saw their journey become a bit easier. Many years after the Second World War, in 1970, Rabbi Nachum Mendel Rubin, a grandson of Rabbi Shaila, traveled to Hungary to visit the Kever in Kerestir. As the regional train approached the town, the conductor suddenly shouted out, "Bodrog Kerestir! Bodrog Kerestir!" Rabbi Mendel found it strange that the conductor would loudly announce this lone station from among the many stops, and he asked for an explanation. The aged conductor shared an incident from decades earlier, when he had been a young man. At the time, Jews still populated the region, and the Chadi Rabbi was active in Kerestir. The Matzei Shabbos train had made its weekly stop in Karastir. But even after the Hasidim descended, the train could not move forward. It appeared that it had broken down. There was no choice other than to have all the passengers disembark while they waited for a new train. The conductor circulated from car to car, directing the passengers to get off. In one compartment, he found a Jew deep in slumber. The conductor woke him and asked him for his destination. "Karastir," replied the sleepy Jew. "We are in Karastir," the conductor informed him. The grateful passenger jumped to his feet and hurried out. Suddenly, the elderly conductor concluded his tale. The train came to life again, and we were able to move. But since then, I take no chances. When I see a Jew on board, I make sure to announce "Bodrog Karastir" when we reach the station in a loud voice, just in case anyone is holding us up. A petitioner once came into the Rebbe with a kvittel. Reb Shaila appeared to be dozing, and the visitor grew agitated about the late hour, worried that he would miss the train. The Rebbe opened his eyes suddenly and said, "My Rebbe, the Tzaddik of Liska, had the power to hold the train and prevent it from traveling for as long as he wished. I don't have his gift, but for 10 or 15 minutes, I can also keep it waiting." He blessed the Jew who hurried off to make the train, which had been delayed by 15 minutes. For a few hours each week, it appeared, all roads led to the tiny town where a lone tzaddik feasted and celebrated the Suda of David HaMelech, lifting spirits and imbuing Jews with hope for a new week at the Malava Malka.